Hi, I'm Christina Applegate.
And I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler.
And this is
Messy.
Are we recording? Are we making a podcast?
So how are you?
I don't know. I'm not great today. I don't know. Maybe it's the rain. Life. I don't know. Just feeling hollow. Like not feeling in my body, feeling hollow. And I've been really like just laying here a lot and like just trying to sleep so that I don't have to even face the day kind of days. Like that's kind of how I've been feeling. Nothing really in specific that's happened. You know, my stuff with my kid is always, you know, challenging, and my own disease and stuff like that. I don't know. Just feeling hollow. That's how I feel right now. And that's my honesty.
It's a reality, one that, you know, I think I really would love to have a conversation with, you know, there's so many like wonderful parenting experts out there now, on especially on the gram, which I love to like look at, and they're clearly in my algorithm. But there's something to be said about, you know, being a parent in general and having to put your own shit aside to be there and present for your kid. But some days that's like not possible.
No, no.
It feels like, you know, there's days where, and I'm really honest with at least my older one, I've just like, I'm so sorry that this moment you don't get a mom that can really like step up. And that's a really harsh reality, I think, for me to experience. And I don't want to project on him, but I'm sure really hard for him. You know, I just, it sucks.
Yeah,
it does
suck. And I know for a fact that this, my reality has completely fucked her up. I know it has. You know, we just took this trip up to meet my nephew for the first time. And unfortunately, we were in the car for 6 hours the first day and 4 hours the next day, which for my legs is so bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
You get so stiff.
And we got out of the car when we finally got home late Saturday night, and I couldn't walk at all. Like at all. Like there was no cane to be used. I had to be like carried basically by Sadie and by Rachel up to my room.
You were in all that time, or?
No, I was sitting in the back seat for 4 hours, and the day before for 6 hours. So
yeah,
they were, and that's never, I've never experienced that loss of my legs, like 100% loss. And I was falling on the stairs and they were trying to hold me up, and I could tell like how hard it was for them because I'm not, you know, I'm not a little tiny person anymore, you know. It was fucking scary. And there's my daughter having to lift her mommy up. And I felt awful about it, you know?
Yeah.
Felt awful. But anyway, enough about that. How are you, love? How are you?
I don't want to glance over that. That's really real.
It's not glancing over. I feel like I'm going to start crying and I don't want to.
This is the space to do that. You can mute yourself for a minute and I can take over for a second. But I fell in the airport with my kid 2 days ago. And they're heartbreaks, you know, and they're so present with you. It's like, you know, when I fell, my husband like looks around, I think not because of, out of embarrassment, but like, oh, like who, make sure like nobody's coming and will knock into me or whatever as I gather myself. But my kids, they're scared. It scares them. It scares them to know what that means. They've seen me get up enough times and push through it that I don't think it's like as scary as other times, but it sucks. It sucks to feel weak in front of your kid. It sucks to be young, like we are in ways, and
in ways.
You know, I mean, we're no springy chicken, but we're chickens, but we're not, yeah. We're not old chickens.
I mean, I'm AARP. I got nominated for an AARP award this year.
What's an AARP?
The old people organization.
What does AARP it stand for?
Old people. I don't know. The American Association of Retired People, I believe is what it stands for.
Congratulations.
I didn't win. It's okay.
Oh, fuck that. Fuck the AARP.
Someone who's a little bit older than me won, so I felt better about it.
Maybe that's all it was.
Slightly older.
Slightly older.
Not completely older.
Well, I would like, I'm going to put it out in the universe that I would love to have somebody on and help us sort of work through these feelings about this, because I'm sure a lot of people deal with it. And a lot there in any of the ways that life can paralyze you, and any of the ways that life can, you know, make things difficult to show up for the people that we love. You don't have to have MS or even a physical disease to feel like you can't do that. But it's definitely, I've definitely had my fair share of those moments. And so I really feel for you and understand deeply how painful that is.
Yeah. Well, and I realized, you know, since being diagnosed, you know, a little over 2 years ago, I haven't gone to therapy. I haven't talked to anybody about how I feel, because in the second, you see, this is what happens. The second I talk about how I'm feeling, I feel like I'm going to completely melt away. And so as I put my TV on, so I can just, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm afraid I'm going to lose control. Sorry for my dogs.
That's all right. I think you might have to lose control for a minute.
I don't want to. I'm so scared.
I can tell you, as somebody that has, that it is healthy, it is necessary, and you're not going to be stuck in a place. I think you're stuck now. I think you're stuck in a, what's it called? Purgatory right now. Do you know what I mean? Where, not to say like once you release all these feelings, miracles could happen. Maybe they could. Who am I to say? But I think that there's, I have found there, I have had times in my life similar to you where it feels like emotions are bubbling over. And yes, the moment you're going to talk, it's just going to spill out. And there's just, you're overcome with emotion. But I feel like that's a lot because you're not releasing them. I would love for you, I mean, beyond this podcast and beyond me, which, you know, I'm here for any moment of any day, but like to have someone to sort these feelings out, because these are big ass feelings.
Yeah, they are. They're almost too much to handle. That's, I think that's what's happening right now, is it's like, it's too much to handle. I've been through a lot of shit in my life, you know,
and I know.
A lot of trauma, and I've done a lot of therapy, and I've done it, but this is the first time where I can feel like the second I even like say the words, my throat closes up. I can't talk. I don't want to talk. I'm so mad. And I'm so sad about it. And I don't know. I've ran out of my Bravo shows. Can I just go to another subject for a minute so that my throat doesn't.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like I can't breathe. I ran out of my Bravo shows. Like I have nothing left.
Yeah.
And this is not to discount the people on these shows, but I'm on like Southern Charm New Orleans right now.
Oh, wow.
Like we've gone like.
It's gone dark.
It's gone, not to discount them because I'm actually enjoying it, but it was on like only like two seasons, like 10 years ago.
I'm sorry.
So I don't know. I've run out of everything, everything you could possibly have.
Have you done Love is Blind on Netflix?
Yeah, I can't. I tried.
You can't. Okay.
I can't do that one. You know, I did all the Love Islands, but I just, that got started to get like too much for me as well.
Yeah.
In that dating thing. But even Beverly Hills, I'm all caught up. That's what I mean. I'm caught up on everything. And
now
then
you have to wait.
I hate, now I have to wait and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I want Andy Cohen to just send me the tapes, not tapes. What do they call? Send me the links, I guess, or VHS tapes, CDs, DVDs, links.
Listen, you were just nominated for an old person award. I feel like we could tell people to get you these tapes, these links.
These links. So I can just watch them all, like have just a big, long marathon of.
Give us the links, Andy.
Okay.
Give us them. Yes. Well, listen, my reality, TV watching doesn't go beyond Bravo. So I've got, or Love is Blind was the only one that I've tinkered with. So I have nothing for you.
I watched Special Forces.
How is it?
Oh my God. It's so good. Do I need
to give it a watch? Okay.
It's so, go watch season one. Like there was a season one, which I didn't even know. And they're in like the desert of Jordan. So it's like 120 degrees, like horrible.
Oh.
The one that's on now, they're in like sub-zero temperatures somewhere in New Zealand mountains, like snow, horrible. And Sandoval's on it. Yeah.
Is this all people that need to be punished that are on it?
No, Jack Osborne was on it.
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
Yeah. And he's killing it.
He's a messy boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Jojo. Yes, he is a messy boy for a long time.
Yep.
But he wouldn't know it.
That's awesome.
Wouldn't know it. So that's awesome. God bless him for like, he does like competitions of like, I want to say, Krav Maga or something like that. Like he competes professionally in Krav Maga.
Can I have a very honest conversation with you right now?
Go ahead. Honest.
I understand this disease manifests different for everybody. I it's very clear, but I don't, frustrated is not the word, but I find that I can get triggered, in all honesty, sometimes when I see people that have MS that are like crushing in a way of like they're functioning completely normally in their bodies. I'm so happy for them, but I have to be honest. There's parts of me that are like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, am I doing something wrong?
Right. I totally 100% agree. And I think that, you know, and not to discount what they're wins.
No, not at all. Not
yeah,
all.
Man. I'm like watching him going, you go. And yeah, you know what? He did say a few times, I have MS. I'm really tired. I'm really struggling today. Like that, you know, he's being honest about it. So it's not like he's like, you know, I don't know who this is. A muscular person. No one can see me right now. I'm literally like someone
marching with gusto.
Mark Wahlberg. There, something like there that. You know, like strong, like bull. Like he's not lying about that, but he's still like, I couldn't do a fraction. I couldn't get for this show. I don't think I could make it on the drive to the camp because there was like sheer cliff on one side and like ice and no railings. Like I'd be out of the car before we started driving to the campsite.
Not enough depends in the world to hold. No. Poopies from the fear of looking over the cliff.
No. I no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it funny? I started having fear of heights about 6 years ago when I started having symptoms of this. Like, remember, like I told you, like my leg would buckle and then it wouldn't happen for like months. You know, I was playing tennis. I was hiking every day. I was running. Yeah. I was Pelotoning every day. Like I was like grandiose, but still would have these little like weird things that would happen. And during that time, I started getting really freaked out about heights. Like my depth perception got real fucked up.
Yeah.
So I think that's had to have been part of it because
it's absolutely part of it.
Before that, I was fine.
Cause I was doing something the other night in my room and it was dark, but my upper body, like I could feel where it was in space to grab what I needed. And I didn't even need my eyes. And it just like, it's just so crazy that the upper half of my body can function so well. And then the lower half, if I don't have my eyes to see, my proprioception is shit.
Yeah. Now you start galloping or high-stepping. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Like when we were in Europe, I think I missed most of Europe because I was like head to my face. That's to the right. Ground the whole time. Like, okay, there's a crack. Uh-oh, cracks, steps, things. That are going to mess me up. But, so I missed the whole thing, but I've been there, so it's okay. Anyway, we were saying about how we feel, and that's why I feel like, you know, for some, you and I talking so, you know, openly about the struggle of it and how we struggle every day will make people who are seeing these other people that are making them feel bad about themselves too go, oh shit, like they have it, you know, worse than me. And that's kind of, it's comforting too for people to go, oh shit. And that's a horrible thing to say, but
no, you know, I get
man,
it.
Okay. I'm doing okay, but it's not, we're not doing it. And that's what I think we have to make sure that people understand, like we're not this bad because we're doing it and we're not having our wins because we're doing it. It's like that. It's so, for me at least, this disease is so fucking unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when I'm going to feel like crap. And I don't know when I'm going to feel great. I just don't.
Yeah. To me, my unpredictability has lied more in, I mean, sure, there's a couple of relapse and remitting symptoms that I have, mostly like bladder stuff, but it's the emotional stuff. And that's the only part that I feel really confident that I can be helpful with. And that's like when I did this campaign with Novartis, and it's about these, like, we created this 3-step guide, and I work really hard on it because I feel like for people with MS, you'd understand, like, the first step is reflect. The second step is reframe. And the third step is reach out. And the first step, reflect, has been, and this process is something I've continually come back to over the last 20, 22, 23 years, because reflecting is like on those shitty emotions, on the grief, on the sadness, on the depression, like learning to let myself, to stop pushing them away and to let myself sit with them and let myself feel them and let myself have every right to feel them. Like, yeah, I have every right to be pissed right now. I have every right to be angry right now. I have every right to feel devastated and it's unfair and all of those things. And then going into the second step of like reframing, I was like, okay, but I'm still a fucking wife and I'm still a fucking mom and I still want to act and I still want to show up in this in certain ways. So how do I reframe my life with this? I get your beautiful Neo walk stick that you designed. I get, you know, if I wanted to go to a concert so bad with my kids to see their favorite artist, Parker McCollum, like we figured it out. My husband dropped me off and we knew exactly where the seats were. So that entrance was closer. Like, you got to do those things. And then the reaching out is like asking for the help, which is so hard to do. But I felt so passionate about this guide that we created because it's literally the only thing that's gotten me through the unpredictability of MS and the only thing that's kept me leaving my house, to be honest, you know?
I know that gearing up to do something. Oh my God, the gearing up. Like, just like I've been thinking about going up to meet my nephew for, like, we planned it a couple months ago. And I mean, the anxiety of just packing a bag, getting in the car, knowing it's going to be a lot, it should have only taken 3.5 hours, but it took 6. And holding him, am I going to be able to hold him? Am I going to, you know, I don't like that whole anxiety. Like, we're going to go see Stevie Nicks and, you know, we know her and her manager is really sweet. And they're like making sure that I have tickets near wheelchair access if I need it or, you know, things like that. So, but that's really great. But those times that we don't have that, that's like a whole undertaking.
There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of energy that goes into it. Like, I have anxiety. Like, I had a meeting in LA not too long ago. And like the whole night before I was like thinking about what the layout of this restaurant is. I have even done stupid shit like in the past, like before people knew I had MS or even when I first came out about it. And I had such shame though, like of how it had affected me. Like if I had a business meeting, I would show up to the restaurant like 15 to 20 minutes early so that I wouldn't see the person. I would somehow figure out how I could already be seated at the table so that when they got there, they never had to see me walk and then make up some excuse when it's done so I don't have to walk out. So I never had to walk in front of people. And the amount of mental like strain that would cause and anxiety and the planning just to go to a meal. I mean, I've done that hundreds of times. It's devastating. And that's, I think, the part that sometimes I feel like I need to explain even to my husband because it's a lot. It's a lot more than the physical. It's a lot of planning and curating and figuring out how I can feel safe best.
Yeah. Like I haven't been to I can't go to a restaurant. I'm totally afraid to go to a restaurant. And I have the kind of the opposite situation because everybody knows I have it, right? And I physically look so much different. I mean, I gained so much weight. Luckily, I've lost 20 of the 40. So we're getting there.
You are
getting to where I want to just feel like myself. And this is not about losing weight and being skinny. It's like, I have like a closet full of pants that I'd love to be able to put on. That's all I want. I just want to wear pants other than sweatpants that I got at the hospital. But like just showing up somewhere and just feeling eyes on me, feeling judgment, feeling like, oh my God, she doesn't look right. She's really not walking, or she's walking well, or blah, de blah. That's, you know, ooh, she looks old. She looks fat. She looks this. Like I don't want to feel that way. I just don't want to feel eyes on me. And they're going to be. And
the eyes on you is hard.
It's fucking
very. I can feel my body stiffen as I feel people looking at me.
Yeah. I feel so much worse. The symptoms get way worse when you're like, the eyes are on you because you're either in a chair at the airport or you're whatever. And then you got to walk up through the stupid, you know, whatchamacallit, x-ray machine. And then you're like, then I lose my leg. You know, I hate all of it. I don't want to do any of it.
Yeah.
Messy is sponsored by BetterHelp.
I need to get something off my chest for you right now. So I've talked a little bit about how kind of I've been like going dark a little bit, and my friends have like picked up on it, but they're like, Jamie, I don't know what you need. Do you want us to reach out? Do you want us to leave you alone? And I told them, I was like, I actually don't know what to do in those moments either. I don't know how to reach out in those moments either. I don't know what to do with those moments. And therapy is where I'm headed to help me figure that out. Therapy is the safe space to get the things off your chest. And like I said, figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, I think you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist. And by the way, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge if they're not working for you.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/messy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/messy.
Support for the Messy Podcast comes from Vuori.
Oh, we love Vuori. It's like butter on the skin. I'm literally wearing head to toe Vuori right now. It's this performance apparel. If you haven't heard about it, how have you not? They offset, first of all, 100% of their carbon footprint. And since 2019, they have also set 100% of their plastic footprint. Just one reason why we love them. But Vuori is incredibly versatile and comfortable. It's designed to look great in everyday life. I wear it 24/7. It's perfect for any workout, activities, just laying in bed. You feel good about the things that you're buying and how they are made. My personal favorite is the women's performance jogger.
And when we say buttery, we don't mean actual butter. Mm-hmm. Disclaimer.
Thank you for clarifying. That's right.
Yeah, I just want to make sure people knew that.
Yeah, but you should also know Vuori is an investment in your happiness. So for our listeners, we want you happy. They are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/messy. That's Vuori.com/messy.
Vuori draws inspiration from the Que Still California lifestyle. They make products that stand the test of time and hope to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives.
Yeah. And not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. So go to Vuori.com/messy and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Everything is designed to work out in, but doesn't look or feel like it. It's so comfortable. You'll want to wear it all the time. Honestly, I have it on right now. I've probably had it on for like a few days. Hence another conversation. Honestly, it's comfier than whatever you're wearing right now.
That's right. The product is incredibly versatile. It can be used for just about any activity like running, training, swimming, yoga, watching Bravo, but also great for lounging on the weekend.
Especially watching Bravo.
Especially. Vuori.com/messy. I think that's why I kept it a secret for as long as I did, because I was able to like, people didn't look for things. And every once in a while, like somebody would go, are you limping?
Oh yeah.
Like, no. Oh, it must have stepped wrong. You know what I mean? Like, just because I didn't want to have the conversation. I didn't want them to look at me differently. I didn't want them to have any judgments about me, you know, or any limit, them to limit me in their mind when I couldn't even, you know, defend what was going on for myself. So I feel for you, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't think I've ever asked you, how did you know?
What?
That, how do, did you know to get tested for this? Like what was happening?
When I was 19, I was doing this movie in like this wooded area in New Jersey, and everybody was talking about ticks. I checked myself all the time, made sure that I wasn't bitten or protected myself, wore long sleeves, all the things. About a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I like all of a sudden felt like I had to pee so bad, like a bladder spasm, which I'd never experienced before, so bad. And then I would go to the bathroom and I couldn't pee. And like, I couldn't communicate with my body for like my bladder to, like from my urethra, is this the proper term, to relax so the bladder could constrict, whatever the fuck.
I like to call it piss hole. There you go.
However the piss hole needed to open. And it wasn't. And I'm like, that's weird. And then I was peeing like every 10 minutes. And I had like this new boyfriend at the time. So I was like, oh, maybe I have a UTI, whatever. And then a few days after that began, I started getting that feeling right before pins and needles, like that heaviness, numb. And it was started in my feet. And then every day it was rising. It was like in my ankles and my calves and my knees and my thighs. And by the time it got to my hips, I remember I was on a plane back to New York and I called my dad. This is pre-text message. And I said, you need to pick me up from the airport. Something's wrong. I need you to take me to the hospital. And I remember when we landed, it took me 40 minutes to walk from my gate to the baggage claim. Wow. My legs literally felt like, and I'm a 19-year-old, like very healthy, like I'm about to enter into the third season of Sopranos. Like my life was like rolling. My dad picked me up. We went right to the emergency room. I was in the ICU for 14 days. Nobody could tell me what was wrong. They did a spinal tap. They did an MRI. They ruled out MS at the time. They did every single test you could possibly imagine. Then they tested me for Lyme's, which came back inconclusive, but a little positive. So they just put a PICC line in me and started me on antibiotics for 3 weeks. But also during that time, had me on an incredible amount of steroids to stop the rising of the sensation. So in hindsight, it could have been the steroids that brought me out. Maybe I do have Lyme's as well. I don't know. I've gone back and forth about this 100 million times. I recovered. I was great. I was fine. All's good. About a year and a half after that, I was very stressed. I was very overwhelmed. I was very overworked. And I started to feel like my feet were getting numb again. And my only way of telling everybody to fucking stop and leave me alone was like, I need to go back to the hospital. My legs are going numb again. I thought I was exaggerating. I thought I was being a little bit of a drama, but I didn't know how else to get this train to stop that I was on. And we get to the hospital. I'll never forget. It was like 10:30 at night. And immediately they're like, well, we need to do another spinal tap, an MRI. And the next morning I woke up with a neurologist in my room telling me I had MS.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they had missed it before? On the MRI?
I don't know. No, there was no lesions before. It was like very early on. I mean, you know, I don't think it was as obvious to diagnose as it was this time around. There were clear lesions at this point. The neurologist that diagnosed me ended up being my doctor for a couple of years. And I am forever grateful to him because the very first thing he said to me after he said, you have MS, is, I don't want you to think that you can't live a very long, healthy life. You can have kids. You can still be an actress. If you were a ballet dancer, I would tell you maybe we need to reevaluate some things. But like, you know, time is on our side. Medicine's on our side. You're very young. Like, this isn't a death sentence, but this is something you have to take seriously. And I just couldn't do that. At 20 years old, like I just couldn't. I was like told by many people, keep it a secret, don't tell anyone. So maybe four or five people knew, that was it. And this, it was really asymptomatic. You know, I had a couple of little blips here and there, like kind of like what you had over the next couple of years. But because of that, I was a terrible patient. I did not take my medication because it made me, at the time, it was this shot I had to give myself once a week that made me feel like I had the flu, and, you know, we're supposed to travel with it and have it be cold. And I remember one time I went to LA and forgot to put an ice pack. So like all of them went bad. So I didn't have medicine for a month and I just didn't think about it. Like I was just, I just wasn't taking care of myself and I was sort of rebelling against the whole thing. And then I went through a very nasty divorce. And in that moment was when my health just went a big downwards like spiral, where just symptoms were coming and my issues with my gait. And then I would say that was like 5 years of a significant decline. And then during that time I had moved to LA and still hadn't told anyone. And now people at work are being like, what's wrong with your walking? And now I'm lying. And it was just this terrible, terrible, terrible cycle. Until I met my husband. It was when I met my husband about 6 weeks after probably the darkest time of my life, where I did not want to live anymore. I couldn't do it. I had no idea how to do it anymore. I just didn't. I was like, how the fuck am I supposed to, I'm 29, I'm 30 years old. Like this disease is winning. I have like, I'm single. I'm alone in LA. I don't have a job. Like I can't do this anymore. And my angel in my life, his name is Ryan Weiss. He needed money and he had devoted his life to be a life coach and didn't know who his first client was. And I was somebody who loved and trusted him and was desperate need of help and had money to give. And we were angels in each other's lives in that moment. And he changed my perspective. He introduced me to A Course in Miracles and he made me believe in something bigger than myself. That's why I have And So It Is tattooed on my wrist, because that was the moment that took me out of the darkness and I never wanted to forget it. And 6 weeks later, I met my husband, totally not a setup, totally universe putting him in my lap. And I was taken care of by somebody for the first time. Like somebody cared, somebody wanted to help me, somebody saw a possibility for me. And then I had my son, and then, you know, there's no looking back after that, but it was the first 10 years was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say that the last 10 years have been easy, but I've learned how to live with it.
Oh man.
Yeah. And you know, I have moments where I'm like, you know, my entire fucking youth was robbed, man. Like, I didn't get to fuck around and like be careless and make mistakes. I mean, look, we also grew up in a business where like you don't have room to make mistakes. Like nobody lets you make mistakes in this business without like you're not allowed to forget about it. And that's hard. And there was a level of pressure with that, but also just then hiding a significant disease and diagnosis. Like it was too much. And there's just a part of me that's just like, still holds on to the dream of having a second chance to have a carefree time in my life, because it's just always felt like a lot of responsibility and too much.
Hey, mama.
Yeah. And it's okay. Like I've done a lot of like process about that. I have. I really have. I let myself feel all the things about it.
Well, I guess I'll get there at some point.
I think you will. I would just like you to give yourself permission to. We all have big stories. Every single person in the world. You have a lot of shit you've been through.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't. Today's just not one of, like, today's.
Today's
like,
not the day.
Today's not the day. It's raining. It just feels gloomy and I'm alone in the house and I just don't, you know, I can't face it right now. After we're done here, I'm going to keep watching Southern Charm New Orleans and wait for something else to come on.
This episode of Messy is brought to you by Maybelline.
You know, this show Messy has proven that the more we talk about things, the more comfortable other people are in expressing their feelings. Christina and I have gotten so many beautiful emails and DMs from our listeners telling that just our candidness, just our conversations of talking about the hard stuff and the things that you really usually suffer alone with and think that you are the only one in the world that's going through it has made them feel better to know that they're not alone. And in that, maybe they're helping them feel less alone in their symptoms and in their life and then wanting them to share more, which is a great plus coming from this little messy podcast of ours.
I like the ones that we get from people who have someone who's going through a chronic illness and they're being able to be there for them even more now.
That's right.
Because they're understanding what's going on because they probably didn't have the ability to explain or expound upon, you know, what it feels like to, for, you know, someone with MS or a chronic illness or just life, you know,
that's
just
right.
Life stuff. So those are the ones I love too, is like, thank you, because now I understand my sister better or my wife better, mm-hmm. or, and in that they can help them feel less alone.
That's right. And then help themselves. And Maybelline has created this initiative called Brave Together. It's designed to help those facing anxiety and depression by funding free professional one-on-one support so that no one has to struggle alone. And they teamed up with the Jed Foundation to create Brave Talk. It's a free expert-developed training designed to empower young people with the skills they need to support peers who may be struggling and help connect them to care.
I love this so much too. The Brave Talk training is, well, structured around 5 easy to remember steps, which are represented by the acronym BRAVE, B-R-A-V-E, which stands for be present, right setting, ask questions, validate feelings, and encourage action.
It's like what you can continue to go back with to help yourself, to help other people. I'm going to keep reminding myself of that so how I can show up on this podcast better.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Let's say it again. Be present, right setting, ask questions, validate your feelings,
and
encourage action.
So if you or someone you know is experiencing anxiety or depression, Maybelline New York is funding free confidential support. It's in the U.S., so text the word TOGETHER to 741-741. Again, that's text TOGETHER to 741-741. Let's be brave together, guys.
Do it.
I'm going to tell you this with the Special Forces, which you're going to start. You're going to start watching it. You're going to be so impressed by JoJo Siwa that you're not even going to know
it. I love JoJo Siwa.
Okay. I cannot even with her. Like, she's so, first of all, she's so gorgeous. She's like, there's no makeup there. They're dirty. They're filthy. They're pooping next to each other. I mean, it's like grim. It's not, and it's like open toilet things. It's so gross. But she's, I'll tell you this because it's already aired and this is going to be, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. So they did this drill where the victims, and I say quote victims, like they decided who was a victim, who had gotten shot. They had to carry them on their backs for like 2 to 3 miles in the freezing cold. And then the other people that didn't have a victim had to carry all the backpacks that were filled, like 40-pound backpacks, right? So this big guy, and I don't know what his name is, and I don't want to embarrass him because it was pretty embarrassing for him anyway, I'm sure. He's like, he's carrying Tom Sandoval. And he's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And he's like, he like falls to the ground and Tom gets off. And JoJo's like, take the fucking backpacks. Here, Tom puts Tom Sandoval on her back and carries him the rest of the way.
Wow.
Like, she's a beast.
The beast.
He could win
and
this.
She's
whole
so talented.
Thing. I know.
You seen that girl dance?
Yeah, I've been. Well, hey, man, I used to watch Dance Moms all the time. So.
Oh yeah.
And then, of course, Dancing with the Stars. She was unbelievable. Like that. I don't know why she didn't win. Like that makes me like really pissed off because having two women dancing together and having it be so beautiful and such a like a sister relationship and vibe. So, you know, they never made it like sexual. They never made it like that. And she was incredible anyway. But have you been watching Dancing with the Stars now?
I haven't. Wait, Christina, I feel like you and I were there one of the same nights when Lance was on.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
It's so funny because they showed, or he showed, some, I don't know, they showed Lance on something doing it. And I was like, when was Lance on there? And then I realized, oh my God, you idiot, you actually were there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only time I actually ever got in trouble on a set was being a guest on Dancing with the Stars. I was sitting obviously in like the front row, and like during the first commercial break, Tom Bergeron came up to me and was like, you need to spit out your gum. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Whoops, and then Daisy. Like two or three commercials later, Marley Matlin was sitting near me and she had Reese's peanut butter cups, which we've discussed. We love. Did we discuss it on the podcast or was that on our text chain?
I don't know, but I can't. I'm like obsessed
with them.
Peanut butter cups.
Sponsor us, please.
Yeah.
And she had given me one and he came over again and was like, what the fuck? Stop chewing. You're literally in the, we need to move you. This is embarrassing.
That's really funny.
Television. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
Oh my God. That just reminded me of this time that I was at, what was I seeing? I think I was seeing Hamilton. And this very famous pop R&B singer person was sitting behind me, or pop. I don't know what the person does. Anyway, he's eating chips. He's eating chips.
In the theater?
In the theater, darling. We do not eat chips.
Faux pas.
I turned back to him. I was so livid. Because when I did Sweet Charity, that was like my pet peeve. Like people opening up their like little Werther's originals like in the front. And I'd be like, I'd snap at them. I'd be doing the scene, singing, and snap at them. Like, stop it. Because I can hear it. So he's eating chips of all things. The bags crinkling.
Is it Usher?
No, I'm not going to say who it is. I turned around and I yelled at him and said, "You please stop." He's like, well, they can't hear me. I said, yes, they can. They can hear you. I can hear you. Everyone can hear you. You cannot eat during a Broadway show. No. You cannot. Ever. Don't talk. Don't look at your phone and don't eat. Big no-nos. Because as loud as it is in here, yes, I know, Hamilton's loud show. The performers can hear you. That's it's right. Almost like our hearing goes zones in right to that one Werther's original being opened.
That's right. You know what else would bug me when I was on Broadway was when people would be sitting in the front row on like a Friday or Saturday night in fucking pajamas.
Yeah.
In like the grossest clothes. I love being in gross clothes. I love pajamas. Look at me right now. But I feel like, especially on a Friday or a Saturday evening at a Broadway show, like, do you remember when people used to just get dressed up for the theater? It just felt so disrespectful to me. I hated it.
I hate it too. Fine. If you're at a matinee and you're walking around Times Square and you decide last minute you're going to go see The Lion King. Do what you got to do.
Even a Wednesday night.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Whatever. You probably got tickets at TKTS. It's fine.
Don't come to the show looking like shit. Don't eat chips. But anyway, afterwards, he was backstage as well. And he apologized to me. And he says, I didn't know you're not allowed to eat chips in the show. I said, well, now you know. And you're never going to do it again. And he's like, no, I swear to God. He was really sweet about it. He wasn't like fighting me. But I was like, I schooled that guy.
Good for you.
Him. I also ran up to Lin-Manuel Miranda and jumped on him and wrapped my legs around him and was like, oh my God, that was so incredible. And then realized we had never met. Just so you know, we had never met. One of the dancers goes, honey, it's a dancer's hello. That's what we do. I said, I know. That's the thing. Like, we're so all affectionate with each other. But I was like, oh, Lin, I actually have never, we've never met. Hi, I'm Chris, but like legs around him like a little baby.
The best. Listen, I also feel like Broadway dancers, there's a love from people that are Broadway dancers. My friend Ryan, who I was just talking about, was a Broadway dancer.
Okay. Yeah.
Wicked for 100 years. He is a sage. He is a living Buddha, but also the most fun, funniest, amazing.
But yes, there's a thing about dancers that's like, there's a love there that's like unapologetic. And
it's expressed through your body so freely.
Yeah. So that's me jumping on Lin-Manuel Miranda. As much as that is bizarre, no one thought it was bizarre.
No, it might as well have been a handshake.
Yeah. But it was, you know, my cooch on his belly.
You can cooch my belly anytime.
Oh, that's right, baby. Cooch on the belly. That's like what we always say around here. Pee on the V. Pee in the V. Pee in the V. We don't say the word sex.
There's a lot of options now.
Yeah, cooch on the belly. Be called a cowgirl or something like that. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to a dark place.
Let's also quickly talk about the fact that you said you wanted to jump even 3 inches off the ground last episode, and you did it.
I did. And I skipped.
And you skipped? That's so hard. I want to skip.
Did I send you the video of me skipping?
You did.
Yeah, I skipped. Right.
Listen, I was triggered. I was jealous.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mama.
I'm kidding. I was so happy for you because that is a beautiful, free, youthful, carefree experience, like to skip like that. Yeah. That's good for you.
Okay. The next day I thought I had ran a marathon. My legs hurt so fucking bad. I was like fucking 10 little skips across my room. And I'm like, okay, we're done here.
Yeah. And I don't have pain.
No,
I just have dysfunction or whatever you call it.
Yeah, I get pain, like excruciating. Ugh. And the numbness and the tingling, which we know is like that feeling of like when your foot is finally coming awake from being asleep, that horrible, awful cramping. That's kind of the way I feel most of the time.
Yeah.
And my hands tremor a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my brain will do that too. Like I'll feel like my brain, like my head kind of like tremoring, like inside of it, almost like a shaking and a cramping. So like, cause that's where all my lesions are, all up top.
All in your brain. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as I know, there's nothing on my spine, but there's like 30 or 40 in my brain. So yeah, they're a lot, but anyway.
But you jumped.
I jumped. And I skipped.
And you jumped.
And I skipped.
And you skipped.
Ended on a positive.
That's right. We have to sometimes. We have to, even in the darkest moments, we have to. It's important. You're still here. We have a lot to do. We have a lot of guests we need on the show. And I want, my dream is for you and me at some point to get so fucking busy with other things that we're flourishing in that we're like, oh my God, we have to record this pod at 11 PM on a Sunday night. Cause it's all we've got time for.
Okay.
That's what I'm putting out there. Alex and our producer is like, fuck you.
Fuck you. Not going to happen. And I'm kind of saying, let's not push it that far. Like,
I'm like 5 years out.
Okay.
No, that's even too, that's too long for me.
That's just so late at night. That's so late at night. I'm asleep by like 9, except for last night. I could not sleep. I was up till probably 2:30 in the morning. Like literally just sitting here by myself. Like, well, cause I took a nap and then I messed myself up.
Yeah.
And then I drink my caffeine. I have to tell you, this is the last thing, my favorite thing in the world, this is my favorite thing in the world. David Rios chai latte powder.
Mm. Do I need it?
You kind of need it.
David Rios?
Yeah, it's called David Rios. I used to go to this place. Do you remember Buzz Coffee?
No.
Kind of like a cool, like, you know, not like like a franchise. It was kind of like mom and pa. And I would get a chai latte there. And I was always like, God, this is really like, it's so different than the other chai lattes. And I asked them and they showed me, it was literally like a powder, like making hot chocolate, but it's like cinnamony and...
Do you get the vanilla one? I see there's a vanilla one. There's a tiger spice.
No, vanilla.
Vanilla.
Or regular. And then...
Flamingo vanilla?
No, or? No. Just regular.
Regular. Okay.
Yeah. And then I do it with almond milk because milk I can't stand.
Yeah.
And it's like my happy place. So I had to finally get decaffeinated ones because I didn't have my decaffeinated one yesterday. I had like the real one. Today is decaffeinated.
This is what's amazing and disgusting. In that entire conversation, I just ordered a $30 can of David Rio chai latte that will be delivered to my house in 2 days or less.
If you don't like it, I'll buy it off of you.
No,
we're almost out because I love it so much. It's like, remember when you were a kid?
I love a good chai.
You know when you're a kid and you'd get like your mommy would make you, or I don't know if she did this, I don't know, warm milk with honey and cinnamon.
Mm.
Okay, that's Sadie's favorite thing too. Sometimes just to warm calm milk down, with
honey
and cinnamon. It's like this, like it brings back all these like kind of
sense memory,
cold, yummy memories of like my mom doing a mom thing for me.
Yeah.
And so this chai gives me that feeling.
I can't wait.
You're going to, unless you don't like it, like it's kind of sweet and I usually hate sweets, but
no, I love sweets. So
it's got enough right up like cinnamony oakiness to it. Anywho.
Support for Messy comes from Lumi. We've talked about Lumi, Christina.
Yes, we have.
You know, showering's exhausting.
It's like the worst. And I have a glass shower. So it's like, I always think of like a glass case of emotions from like Anchorman. Like that's how I feel when I'm in my glass shower. Or I always make the joke, naked and afraid, or as I like to call it, taking a shower.
That's right.
So I have to have something that can last for multiple days, guys, multiple days. And
Lumi, you can use everywhere in your body.
All the bits. All the bits. And I'm telling you right now, this is seriously from my life. It is unbelievable. I use the cream one, not the roll-on, which is fine. You can use the roll-on, but you don't want to use the roll-on down on your bits in those places. You want to put it in your hand.
In the underboobies.
Separate the things. Yeah.
The butt cracks.
just a little bit. Boom, 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 yep. Boom, boom. And your stuff is real. It's delightful for many, many days.
Look
at least
that.
For me.
It was been created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated, by the way. So it's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor, like Christina said, for up to 72 hours, multiple days.
I'd like to say they're making my own claim that it goes a little bit longer than 72 hours, but that's just me.
They have it here first. Look, it's baking soda free, paraben free, pH balanced for safe use below the belt. You can choose from a variety of fresh scents. And the Lumi starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get 15% off of all Lumi.
That's right, with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off your starter pack. Use code MESSY for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com.
I love you, Lumi.
That's code MESSY at LumiDeodorant.com.
We should make that a song. LumiDeodorant.com. All right, there we go.
Okay, we're going to get to two listener questions, comments, whatever we're going to call them. Our first one is from Evan. He says, I started listening to this podcast because my wife has been diagnosed with MS for 3 years. As someone from the outside looking in, your open conversations about what you deal with and your daily thoughts have really opened my eyes to what it's like to live with this disease. I grew up in a family where you never talked about your emotions, and it's been hard for me to open up and be vulnerable. I try every day to be better for her because I know she does the same for me. Keep up the awesome work, Evan. Oh, Evan, you're so wonderful for listening to us and caring about your wife so much and wanting to like understand her more through what we talk about. And I'm glad that that's helping. I can say like for me personally, just last night, I don't know what's going on the last 2 days. Just like for me, I've had a lot of stuff come up. I'm getting like chiropractor adjustments. I don't know if that's bringing up emotions, whatever it is, but I kind of go dark is what I call it. My friends know when I go dark and they can feel it. And I think I'm hiding it well and I'm not. And I've talked, I think, a little bit about before here, like my husband can be kind of like a fixer. And last night he just let me talk. And he didn't say anything after, except I'm sorry. And I feel like sometimes that's what we need the most from a partner
is just the acknowledgement and the recognition that what we're going through is hard.
Yeah, I agree. But I also want to add to this, Evan, that what you're going through is hard as the partner. And never take that away from yourself. And if you are feeling like you're going to lay your crap on the person who is going through this disease, go find someone, go out for a walk, take time for you, because it's so hard on you as well to watch a person that you love go through something that you know how much they're suffering. And so I absolutely want you to honor yourself and your heart and your emotions as well. It's really important.
Oh, that's so true. I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. Great advice.
Yeah. Well, I look at the people who take care of me and I see their sadness on their face when, you know, you can hear it in my voice. I'm not feeling very good today. So like the way they look at me when they come in and I can't move, and that's they're feeling that. That's real.
Yeah. And you deserve an outlet as well. Yeah. To all the caretakers, like, you are just as much of the quote warriors that we are. You are strong and you do so much more than you even know. And please take care of yourselves as well, for all those caretakers that are listening and anyone that, you know, give your caretakers permission to do that for you.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We got one more ready. This is from Sonia. Thank you, ladies, for sharing your lives and educating about real life experiences of living with MS. I just listened to Caboose and appreciate your honesty. I was diagnosed this past summer. I'm as close to my baseline as I fear I'll get, and I'm beginning to re-enter life, or trying. Historically, I'm an avid traveler, but I keep postponing travel requiring flights. I have no clue how to begin to navigate the airport now that I require a cane for short walks and a scooter for anything longer than about 2 minutes. Any practical tips? Also, how do you prepare people for the new you? So many limitations now when they've only known the old you. Looking forward to any insights. Best, Sonia.
I'm going to say what I always say to people who have MS or any kind of disability. Wheelchair. I can't even say it. Wheelchair. In an airport. Wheelchair. Yep. I know you're going to feel like I'm not at that point, and you know, I don't want to be seen like this, and I don't want to be stared at, because you will. But guess what? You get through the TSA a lot faster than everybody else, and someone's got you, they're zipping you through, so you don't have to worry about it. I hate it for my own ego and my own stuff, but man, I'm telling you, there was 400 people waiting to get through customs last summer when we were landing in from Paris. 400 people. You know how many people were in my line? Zero.
I love
Zero
you.
Zero people.
I love you for saying all that. And it's true. People. I put my hat down. I put my head down for whatever fucking reason. Every
and you should
time
always
I'm
have
in,
your mask on anyway, because it's a Petri dish show. It doesn't
that's
matter.
True. I should have my mask on. But but you got to do it. She's exactly right. The wheelchair, make it easy for yourself. I don't know why we feel like we have to prove. There are points to push ourselves. There are moments to do that. But when it comes to traveling, and like Christina has taught me and made me realize, like, how much stimulation is in an airport, how much that affects you. I didn't even realize what was going on with me in those type of situations.
Fluorescent lighting affects us because it affects our nervous system. So remember that. So when you do get into an airport, you're going to be more wobbly, more prone to fall, more agitated, more prone to having your speech go away. This is stuff that was happening before I even knew I had MS. Wow. And I didn't realize that the fluorescent lighting has an ocular issue with people who have a nervous system disorder. Wow. So just remember, like, that you're not taking a wheelchair away from someone. You're actually saving yourself from possibly cracking your head open.
Yeah. And put some earphones in, put some good music that makes you feel like a badass when you're being wheeled through like a queen or a king through the airport. And traveling can be a bummer. It can be scary. There can feel like there's so much extra effort and planning that goes in, but that's the way you can do it. And it's just the only way.
I'm sorry to cut you off, my love.
Oh, cut me off.
Also, when you get to your destination, do not hesitate to tell people you can't handle whatever activities they're having for that day. And it's okay. You're going to benefit more from like going and taking a good nap than trying to push
And you know what? It'll be there tomorrow. You know, the walk down the street will be there tomorrow or whatever the case may be. But when your body tells you no, you've got to say no, because with MS, the harder you push, the harder it pushes back. And you don't want to put yourself into like 10 steps back,
yeah.
Which you can gain back, by the way, just so everyone knows that you can, it's not a progression. It's just a kind of the law of the land.
Yep. 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 So I hope that you continue to find ways to travel and enjoy yourself, because that's important to you. And I'm sure we should probably look up. I'm sure there's probably some like good websites or resources, but you know, just spend a little extra time for yourself, getting all the support and help you need. And like Christina said, have the conversations, warn all the people, and then it's your vacation too. You can take it at your own pace. There's no right or wrong.
Amen.
I got a card.
Oh yeah. Okay, good. I got to get new cards because I'm kind of over this right now. I want to get like
new pack.
I'm going to go to the Mystic Cycle Circle. No, what's it called? The place here.
Urban in the Mystic? No.
No, someplace on Ventura. Mystic Eye. Yes. Circle Eye. Oh. Psychic Eye. That got it. I knew I'd get there some point.
We got there. Me first? You first?
You first.
Okay. 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover.
Okay.
Little That's Mark Twain wrote that one.
That's a challenge, Twainy.
Marky Twain, getting okay, us out of our beds. Go ahead.
This is how I like to do it with you. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. Left or right?
Right.
Okay. So you picked this.
I did. It's my fault.
Oh, okay. The incessant mental noise of thinking prevents you from finding that realm of inner stillness that is inseparable from being.
What did I just talk about today?
I know. Mental noise, baby.
I'm going to shut the fuck up.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. The stillness that is inseparable from being, which we know, you know, yeah. God is everywhere in the things and the things. I don't know. Okay, that's a good one.
Listen, I just have to quickly say before we wrap it up, because I know we end on cards, but like, even in talking about the really hard, hard things, I leave each session lighter.
Yeah.
And so for that, I thank you. And I hope that other people can feel the same from this, because we really go there. And it's what I'm explaining to you. And I hope you find the safety in really going there, and other people can too, because as human beings, we cannot hold on to all of these things all the time. It's impossible. We can't.
I always feel better too. Like I'm like, I actually have energy right now, and I haven't had energy like all day. I've been laying in the dark, literally in the dark.
Yeah, I feel like JoJo Siwa, like Sandoval, get on my fucking back. Let's
there you go. Go JoJo.
Should we need dream guest?
Guest JoJo Siwa. We love you because you've got some kind of things to say. And last night's episode, which is so long ago, because now we already know who won, I'm sure by the time this comes out, she went so vulnerable about herself and how she feels about herself, and that she was terrorized by, won't say the name, and always felt so insecure about herself, the way she looks, the way she talks, everything, that people were saying she was balding, but she was like, I have rashes on that I get. And her, you know, her parents like protecting her to the point where she couldn't even like, if she bumped her elbow, they were like, no. So for her to do this thing, which is the scariest thing I've ever seen humans do in my life, is so empowering. So she's a real one to like, and to be come out and be so proud of who she is. And at 20 years old, come on. She's a queen.
I'm not worried about our future because of JoJo Siwa.
Nope.
And so it is.
And so it is, baby. And so it is.
This show is executive produced by Christina Applegate, Jamie Lynn Siegler, and Allison Bresnick. Our audio engineer is Josh Windisch.
If you want to show us some love, don't forget to leave the show a rating or a review. Hi, it's Jamie. Thanks for listening. I just want to let you know I am a paid spokesperson for Novartis, but this podcast is independent from my collaboration with Novartis.